Well, it's a little tight walk getting off that platform there, so I just thought I'd wait. If you brought your Bible, I hope you did. Turn with you to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, as we're walking through this series called The Greatest Gift Ever. And today I want to unpack a box, another gift for us, and it's entitled Authentic Peace. Authentic Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, very familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Our connecting verse, our truth statement today is this: Jesus came to give authentic peace. Jesus came to give authentic peace. Would you join me as we pray? Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful music that we've experienced and sang to you today, Lord, because as we've said already, you are the audience of one, and we're not here to perform, but we're here to bless your name, Father. And Father, we receive the blessing of singing unto you, our Savior. And Father, we thank you so much that we have this wonderful privilege in this amazing, amazing church today to serve you and worship you by serving this community. Father, we ask you to remove any barriers, any obstacles from here and from us hearing from you today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. In the strong name of Jesus, Father, remove any barriers today. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And the church said, amen. I read an article not long ago of a retired couple. They were alarmed by the nuclear war, the possibilities or the threat of nuclear war. So they undertook a serious study. They traveled and they studied and they looked at different locations around the world where it would be the least likely to be affected by a nuclear attack. A place of ultimate security is what they were looking for. They studied, they traveled, and they looked and studied, traveled more and more, and they found the place. And on Christmas of 1981, they sent a letter and a Christmas card to their pastor from their new home in the Falkland Islands. However, their paradise, their ultimate secured place, soon turned into a war zone. And Great Britain and Argentina happened in a war zone there in April of 1982. Everyone that I ever encounter, they all want peace. I've never encountered in my entire 70 plus years of life that I have ever encountered anybody that says, man, I want war. I want to fight. I want to get involved. Well, maybe in a deacon's meeting. I don't know. Maybe we want peace, whether we are national leaders sitting across the table from other national leaders trying to hammer out a peace agreement, or business facing pressures and deadlines of that business at the office, or maybe it's a stay-at-home mom trying to corral the kids. I had a privilege of getting down to Seth and Taylor's house yesterday, just before Seth and I went to a basketball tournament down at State Farm Arena, and not only did we have Millie and Margot there, but there was their cousins were there, Flo, Florence, and young Jack, who was a little bitty guy, and I just sat there with those four little kids under the age of under the age of four, I should say. They were just all over the place. And I said, man, Taylor's trying to corral them in. And Seth and I got in the car and headed down to the basketball game and left her with them all, right? So we find that to be sometimes not very peaceful. Or a student that's trying to finish out the semester, trying to make through the semester. We all, everybody wants peace. And most will go to whatever limits it takes to find such peace. But most of us, if we're completely honest with ourselves, we have to admit we experience more stress than we do peace, especially during this time of year. It's a bit stressful. Traffic is crazy. I mean, it's insane during this time of year. Wouldn't you agree that there is nothing more people talk about than it is experiencing peace? It's like our day in Jeremiah, a day in Jeremiah's people cried, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Folks, Americans, we live in the most comfortable homes in the world. Every one of us live in the most comfortable homes in the world. Yet, domestic violence is at an all-time high in our land. Our cities are the most modern cities in the world. I've traveled the world. We are the most modern cities in the world, yet our streets are unsafe. Our communication technology in our country is unsurpassed, but there's never been more misunderstanding than in its history of our country. In fact, people that you come to church so filled with anxiety, it's very difficult for you to fall asleep in my sermons. Because you got so much anxiety, you're stressed out about things. Where do we go for peace? How do we find peace on earth? Where did we discover lasting and fulfilling peace? For many, the destination to find such peace may be a little bit unrealistic. Maybe we just can't figure this out. I want to give you another message truth. The place of peace is actually the person of peace. The only lasting source of peace is God Himself. So this morning, for a few minutes that I have with you, I want us to unpack two questions that we have. The first one is this: where can we go for peace? And the second question is, how can we maintain such peace? Where do we go to find this peace, and how can we maintain it? So how do we discover authentic peace? Peace. First of all, the Bible tells two kinds of peace that are related to God. If we believe what I said in my earlier statement, that the place of peace is actually the person of peace, and the only lasting source of peace is God Himself, so there are two kinds of avenues or two tracks to find the beginning of lasting peace within our own personal lives. The first one is this: spiritual peace is peace with God. Don't miss that, because I'm going to change some wording in our next statement. Spiritual peace is peace with God. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation, the bottom line is we've got to have peace with God before we can have any other kind of peace, especially those that call themselves Christ followers like you and I. Those of us that are believers of Jesus Christ in this room or are viewing us by our live stream, we've got to have peace with God first. We got to settle that out. A man visited a doctor friend of mine, and the doctor was telling me this story not long ago. He had this guy come to him. He says, I seem to be in some sort of trouble. And so the doctor looked at him. He said, I've got all these troubles everywhere I go. I got troubles with my business. I got troubles in my home. I got troubles everywhere I go. I am just plain run down. And the doctor had started an examination, and he started going through the process of his examination. He said, you're not run down at all. You're not run down. You are wound up is what you are. You're not run down. You're wound up. And the man says, well, doc, okay, if I'm wound up, give me something to take care of this, to slow me down. He said, well, what do you want me to give you? The doctor said to him, he said, I want you to give me some sort of a tranquilizer. There's times in my life that I wish my doctor would just give me a tranquilizer. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, we want something. Hey, man, just give me something to slow this thing down. Give me a tranquilizer or something. And the doctor says, very well. And he got out his prescription pad, and he began to write a prescription. The man took it up, put it in his pocket, and left out the door without even looking at it, went went straight to the drugstore and went to the pharmacist, handed him the prescription, and the pharmacist looked at his prescription. He says, well, sorry, I can't fill this prescription here. We can't fill this prescription here. He said, well, wait a minute. You are a druggist. You are a pharmacist. This is a drugstore, correct? He said, that's true. He said, then why can you not? Are you out of stock? He said, sir, I can't fill this, sir. We don't have this in our stock in our store. This prescription can't be filled here, but here's what I want you to do. Take the prescription back and fill it yourself. He looked at him kind of funny. He said, go home and take your Bible, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 3 doses, as what the doctor prescribed, 3 doses of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, every day. The man did not know what that verse was, so he went home, he grabbed his Bible, and looked at it and said, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by God, or by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The man was not happy at all. He was wound up. He just said, the doctor gave him a verse of scripture to read. So he called his doctor back, says, what kind of prescription did you give me? The doctor, the physician said to him, your trouble is not physical. Your trouble is spiritual, not physical. What you need is peace. I can't give you that kind of peace. You need to fulfill it by going to the Lord Jesus Christ to have that type peace. Gather in here close. Don't miss this. The fact remains that before you and I can experience personal peace, we must receive the Prince of Peace within our lives. Now, I'm going to assume that nobody in this room at the sound of my voice are believers. I'm going to assume that every one of you sitting in this room and are viewing us by our live stream, if you died today, you would spend eternity separated from the love of God. I'm going to just say that, and you say, wait a minute, that is rude. I'm a believer. I've been a believer for a long, long time. Well, I'm just, for practical purposes in our message today, I'm going to assume that, because here's what I'm going to do. Dr. Dan is going to give you a prescription for peace in your life today. The first is that we must admit that we are sinners, that we are separated from God's love. We must admit that we have no ability to save ourselves, and that we need a Savior to come in and cleanse us of our sins. That means we also must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He died on the cross for our sins, and that we accept that He's that He is the Son of God, and we accept Him as the free gift of forgiveness of our sins. And then we must come to this moment, in this same moment, confess our sins before a holy God. Oh, my dear friends, when we receive the Prince of Peace, that means we have all the peace we need. We have the spiritual peace. It is the foundation of any gift that we can receive. It's the gift of eternal life. Dear friends, when we receive the gift of eternal life, we receive the Prince of Peace in our lives. No amount of money, no amount of toys, no amount of houses, no amount of jet skis, no amount of cars, no amount of seats at the best athletic facilities, no amount of golf games that you can have can give you more peace than the peace that comes when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. That is a spiritual peace that I believe that our world desperately needs for us to proclaim. So spiritual peace is peace with God. Secondly, where do we go for peace? Is emotional peace is the peace of God. Now don't go to sleep on me. You're still wound up. You're still wound up. So don't go to sleep on me. But listen to this. Emotional peace is the peace of God. Spiritual peace is peace with God. Emotional peace is the peace of God. We must have peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. Emotional peace. That is what most people think when they think of this world peace. Eternal, internal sense of well-being or order in our life. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. God's not a God of disorder. God's not a God of confusion. God's not a God of happenstance. God is a God of order, and order is driven by peace. God is a God of peace. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ can go through any kind of problem, any kind of death in their family, any kind of unruly kids, any kind of failure in business. We can go through those because we have the peace of God within our lives. The most tragic times in my own personal life, I was able to get through those tragic times because I have the peace of God that is comforting me along the way. When our spouse dies, when our kids get sick, when you lose your job, you can have the peace that you don't even understand. This peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with the conflicts and the frustrations of life. When we know that we have this emotional peace, we can go through the deepest, darkest valleys of life because we have this emotional peace. Even in the most difficult times, we have God's peace. A psychiatrist was quoted not long ago in a medical journal. He was quoted so long ago saying, "I cannot improve on any statement better than what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi about peace." Paul wrote these words, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God will guard your heart and your minds through the most difficult moments of your life. How many times do you and I fret, wring our hands, and we turn and we're looking for peace in all the wrong places? God's peace can be within our hearts and capture our lives and move us to understanding that emotional peace is because we have peace with God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says these words, "Let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful." Gathering here close, dear friends, don't miss this. You're going through a difficult time. I'm sorry. We're sympathetic. My pastor's heart overrides my business brain. And I'm sorry that you're going through that emotional time. You're going through that difficult situation. But dear friends, most of us that have been Christ followers for any length of time, if we will just revert back to what we know already and regurgitate what God has already put into our lives, we can realize that we already have the answer, and that's the peace of God that is dwelled in our lives. So be thankful when you're going through the difficult times. The Greek word control or rule is used this one and only time in Scripture. It means to umpire, so to speak. To umpire. The verse says that we should let the peace of God be the umpire or the referee in our lives. What does an umpire or referee do? He controls the game. He doesn't play the game. We often said when I was a referee in college and high school basketball that when you walked off the floor, if they couldn't even think about who you were, then you've done your job as a referee. You've kept the game under control and let the players play the game. I can't say that much for yesterday's performance of the Stripe guys on the floor. They were a little bit suspect. I think they were trying to shrink in the amount that Auburn was wearing Ohio State out on the floor. So they were calling pity ticky-tack fouls that I screamed at one of them, to be honest with you. I'm just confessing that to you. You know, he's a brother. We're in the same fraternity, man. I used to referee. "You big dummy, get in place where you call that." No, I didn't say it that way, but my son looked at me like, "Dad." I said, "That was a terrible, terrible way to call that game." Now I looked at Seth. I said, "I didn't say that, dummy. He's just out of position." Anyway, umpires control the game. Referees control the game. So what does he do? They make sure that they play in an orderly and smooth fashion where the players can play the game. God wants you to have eternal umpire in your life, and that is the Holy Spirit that drives us. Gather in here. Don't miss this. Peace with God speaks to God's saviorhood in our life. The peace of God speaks to the lordship in our life. If we truly want to live a life of peace and experience the peace of God continually, we must allow Christ to rule and control our lives every day. So that gift, the gift of the person of Christ is not in some pill form. It's not in some movie form. It's not in some buying something else to provide a moment of exhilarating joy in our lives. It's not in pill form, but is in purpose or person form. So where do you go for peace? Spiritual peace is with God. Spiritual peace is with God. Emotional peace is the peace of God. So how do we maintain this? This is where I want to get to. How do we maintain that? Notice what Romans chapter 14 verse 19 says. So then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Now I want you to let that just marinate on you just for a second. Listen to that verse again. Listen to that as we are in this transition period. So then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds one another up. Builds up one another. So I want to give you four things this morning. First of all, if we want peace, we must obey God's word. Shocking, right? Boy, that is so earth-shaking. I've never heard a more unbelievable statement from you, Dan. Dear friends, if we want to know the peace of God, if we want to experience true peace with God and peace with our fellow man, we must obey God's word first. As simple as that may sound, we need to do just what God says to do in the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 150, 65 and 67 says this: abundant peace belongs to those who love your instructions. Nothing makes them stumble. I obey your decrees and love them greatly. Gather in here close. Don't miss this statement. God says peace comes when we live in harmony with Him. When we do what He tells us to do. We have perfect harmony when we're in lockstep with God. Every one of us that have automobiles, we have an owner's manual inside that glove box. How many of y'all, just a show of hands, because I want to make sure that I'm in the same company. How many of y'all have looked at that owner's manual when you bought the car? Oh, there's 5 of you, 10 of you, 25. Oh, it's always the engineers. Yes, I looked at that, you know. They always got to make it all right. I never looked at mine, not the first time. And then I wonder why my car's not running the way it ought to run. Well, maybe you look at the owner's manual, right? And find out what's going on in the owner's manual. God's word is our personal owner's manual. It contains the principles for health, finances, and marriage, and relationships, business, and many, 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 many more. Raising our kids, it is for that. Sometimes we just need to quit worrying about things and quit wringing our hands and quit setting appointments with psychologists and pastors that we want to sit down and talk with them about our personal lack of peace in our own life when we could go to the owner's manual. If you don't obey the principles as they are related to various areas of your life, you will not experience true lasting peace. If you want to live in accordance to God's design, you got to be present in God's word. Not just ever so often when pastor gets up. Not ever so often when you go to life group. Not when you go to your D group. But it's a daily experience walking with Him through the word of God. So if you want peace, you must obey God's word. Secondly, if you want peace, we must focus on God's presence. We must realize that God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Going through some difficult times, that's okay. God knows it. And God's always with us. I'm reminded of what Isaiah said. He said in Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep perfect peace, the peace of the mind that is dependent on you for it is trusting in you." When we just must realize that God is always with us. We have a choice to either focus on our problems or focus on God. We can focus on our problems and say, I'm going to sit back and wring my hands, and you're going to get welled up and have stomach ulcers. You're going to have all these situations going on in your life. Your health is going to deteriorate. Or you can focus on God's presence. If you will look at the world, you will be depressed. You'll get distressed in your life. If you look within, you'll be completely depressed. But if you look to Christ, you will be at rest. When we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. If we keep our eyes a gaze upon him, he's the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Oh, dear friends, if you're stressed, get with God. It's when you can concentrate on him determines your level of personal peace. So if you want peace, we must obey God's word. If you want true peace, we must focus on his presence. And thirdly, if you want peace, we must trust in God's purpose. Trust in God's purpose. When things don't go the way you think they ought to go, or they don't make sense, we must trust God's purpose. Oftentimes we think, well, we've got this all figured out. We've done church for so long here. We've got all of this figured out. We know exactly what needs to happen. When sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, we're going to just trust you, God. We're going to trust you. A very familiar, many of you have quoted and taken this to memory. Proverbs chapter 3 gives us that. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. He will guide you. He will direct you. I've said it time and time and time again. God's word is a comfort blanket in times of need. It's a weapon of mass destruction. It's a sword. Hide the word of God that you might not sin against him. But dear friends, importantly, as all that is, it is a GPS. It is a roadmap for living. Trust the word. Trust the Lord. Have you noticed that a lot of things in life just don't make sense, and you feel like a lot of things that you're involved in are completely beyond your control? What do you do in those situations? I've been there. I'm there in some spots right now. This week, just faced with some major decisions and direction, and I'm just saying, oh my goodness, what? Well, if we did this, or maybe if we moved this way, maybe if we did this. Dear friends, let me tell you something. If we'll just trust God and lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will guide us. He will make our path straight every time. We waste a lot of time and an enormous amount of energy trying to figure things out. God urges us to just trust him. As simple as that seems, that is true. That's why it's there. That's why we have it. People have told me on more than one occasion, when they finally stopped trying to figure out everything, why God has allowed something to happen, and start just trusting him, then the peace that passes all understanding just overcame them. When we stop trying to figure it all out, I'm mentoring a young man right now that's on a major career trajectory in his career. Sharp, sharp kid. And he's got all these markers and goals and stuff. And I appreciate that. I love people who have a game plan and goals for life. And he's just all of this. And he said, but you know, something happened this past couple of months. It didn't happen. I didn't meet a goal in this. We met some, but we didn't meet all. And I looked at him. I said, man, where's the trust factor in this? Where's the trust factor? I said, you just keep doing the right thing. God's going to bless. You keep doing what you do and investing in others and ministering along the way. And dear friends, let me tell you something. Quit trying to figure it all out. If we could figure out the mind of Christ, we are absolutely going to drive ourselves crazy. Because he's God and we're not. Quit trying to figure it all out. Trust him. Quit wasting energy. God urges us to lean into Him, trust Him. We need to face the fact that not all of our questions are ever going to be answered on this lifetime. Some of them are going to be answered in heaven, and it won't matter then. Amen? So if you want God's peace, you want to unpack that box, the greatest gift of all, authentic peace, we must trust God. And fourthly, if we want God's peace, we just need to ask for it. Now, I tried my best in the last couple of weeks when I was writing this. Lord, give me something really cool to say here. I just really want something catchy. You know, something hip, something really cool that they'll walk away going, wow, that was a tremendous nugget that Pastor Dan came up with. This is what he gave me. If you want peace, just need to ask him for it. That's not very hip, is it? Just need to ask him for it. Paul tells us again in Philippians chapter 4. He said, don't be worried about anything and everything through prayer and petition and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. What does that simply mean? Where I'm from in Alabama, it means you got to ask for it. You got to ask for it. You know, the only other career I ever had was in the food service distribution business with a little company out in Texas. Actually, it's the largest distribution food service company in the world. Amazing company. It was on a trajectory in the late 60s, early 70s, and man, it just took off as billions and billions of dollars in volume across the world, platforms all over the world actually now. And I was privileged to be trained by some of the greatest sales minds in the business in that world. And I was mentored and groomed by a man by Mr. Glenn Nelson. He was the president of our distribution center. He was a brilliant mind, just a wonderful man. The Lord took him home too early, I thought. He died of cancer while I was working there. He was just a tremendous man. And I still some of the principles to this day, some of the things that he injected in my life that had nothing to do with spiritual values, but it was all biblically based. Every bit of it was. It seemed like that I've now grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I've realized some of the same things that he would tell us. And he always said, man, never go into a restaurant that you have, it's one of your customers. Even if you're going to take your wife to dinner, make sure that you have a pen on you. A pen. Well, I'm going out to dinner. I don't know. I've just got a golf shirt on. Why am I carrying a pen? And I asked him one day, I said, Mr. Nelson, why would I want to take a pen if I'm just going to take my wife out to dinner? He said, well, the chef may come out and want to give you an order. How are you going to write it down? Duh. Boy, that was earth shaking. I mean, years of college and all the training that I'd gone through. And all of a sudden, all he said, just make your requests known. If you're not asking for peace, dear friends, you're not going to receive peace. God's sitting there. He's not a moving target. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He hadn't gotten up and moved. One time Stephen came, he got up, but he's back sitting down waiting on you and I to ask for the peace. You want that gift? You want to unpack that and pull that tissue out of there? What are you looking for? God, I want peace. I want authentic peace. Ask me for peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the order that he is sharing with us today. First pray, then ask for peace. You see, there's a cause and effect here, dear friends. Prayer is the cause. Peace is the effect. If you are not praying, you are likely going to be worrying. Worry is such a useless emotion, is it not? Worry is a terrible emotion to have. It's a waste of time. Worry is the opposite of peace. They cannot coexist in the same life. So let me close out here. What do you need peace for? What do you need to ask God for? Do you need more month than money? Or you need more money than month? What are you asking God for? You need peace that passes all understanding? Why are you asking anybody else? Why are you trying to buy it from some other toy? It's the peace, the authentic peace. Do you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the peace that he has for you? Will you not just experience true and lasting peace? And you will not until you trust in him with every aspect of your life. As I say it often, you trust him with every minute detail of your life. Not just the big stuff. We got to pray for this and we got to pray for that. We need a new pastor. We got to do all this. It's big stuff. Are you asking him for the little minute details? Dear friends, peace, remember, is not a troubled-free life. It's a sense of calm in the midst of the storms that we face each and every day. What will rob us of the peace today? Is it guilt? What will rob us from the peace today? Will you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry anymore? Is it your job's not going as well as it should, or your retirement's not as strong as it once was? Your finances are not lasting as long as they once did? Maybe you're facing a major surgery. You got a major surgery coming and you're just anxious about it. That's understandable to be a little bit nervous about that. But have you trusted the Lord with that peace? This past spring, Deb and I faced a pretty big deal when she got the C word given to her about a kidney. And we just sat there and looked at each other like, what? Really? And so she had surgery. But you know what? I was wringing my hands. She didn't notice this, but I was wringing my hands. I was nervous. I was anxious about it. And she had so much peace. She had so much peace because she knew the great physician was in complete control. And she trusted him fully. You can talk to Christ about all of these. You can take all of these to him. You need to ask him for peace. Back to our text, Isaiah chapter 9. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Ever Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Oh, my dear friends. You're looking for peace. You're unpacking that box at Christmas. And you're pulling that tissue paper and throwing that away. What am I looking for? Are you looking for peace? Peace is not in a gift box. Peace is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of all peace wants to give you and I the peace, and he's here right now ready to make this gift available to us. All we have to do is ask him for it. Jesus came that we have and get to give us authentic peace. Let's pray. As Miss Rebecca and our team come to lead us in our hymn of invitation, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, today I just got a lot of anxiety going on in my life. A lot of angst going on, a lot of anxiety going on in my life. I'm struggling with this particular area, but maybe right now the Lord Jesus is tapping at your heart. Maybe right now you say, I want to unpack that box and I want to find that amazing, authentic peace that Jesus came to this earth on that night in Bethlehem to give us authentic peace. Father God, you know the hearts. You know what's going on in the people in this room and those that are viewing us through our live stream. Father, we just pray that they call upon your name right now. They ask you for peace. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we thank you for what you're about to do in our midst today. Lord, we love you and thank you for all what you're doing. And Lord, I pray right now, those that are struggling, those that are going through difficult moments in their life right now, maybe facing some major, major decisions. Father, I pray that they reach out to the Prince of Peace. They call upon your name. And it happens right here in this room. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.